Good morning. Oh man, it's good to be here. Second week of Vineyard Series. This is, can you bring me down in the house just a little bit? It just sounds a little loud for me. This sermon series is, it's probably my tops. It's, if it's not one, it's in my top three for sure. I absolutely loved it. We had a great first week. We talked about how Jesus announced his ministry to the world through turning water to wine. And now we're looking at what it looks like in the vineyard. What does it look like as the vineyard grows? And we're paralleling that to a believer's life. So the first segment, we have to start with, well, what happens with the vine? How does it grow in the ground? We have to start with the first 3 years of a vineyard are critical to a vine. So what does that look like to us? The first 3 years of a believer, if you will. For some, that's a real quick season, and for some, it's a longer season. It's not necessarily the exact number of, yes, this is how I start as a Christian, and I have 3 years to go. And no, it represents a season, your beginning season as a Christian, the first 3 years. Do you know it's said by farmers and vine dressers that your first 3 years are critical to how the root develops into the ground? You know, the first 3 years, that's its only responsibility is getting connected to the ground. The branches have to connect to the vine, which are the root system. There's one other critical aspect, and we'll talk about that next week, okay? So you got to come back. You got to hear more about it. But the roots are so important. Today's message is entitled Rooted in Jesus. We start off in John 15, verse 1, and this whole sermon series is really brought to us, if you will, by John chapter 15. I am the true grapevine, and my Father is the gardener. So there's a grapevine, there's a gardener, and then there's the branches. Today's points are all wrapped around this idea of the root system and how it really flourishes. So point number one, Jesus is the root. Jesus is the root. I was looking at what are the three things that a root system has to do inside a vineyard. In the first 3 years, every single root has to do three things, okay? You know how, have you ever seen root systems, how they look like tendrils or, is that a word? Tentacles? I don't know. Whatever it is, it branches out and there's little hairs and they have to do certain things. I found out there's three things that they have to do in order for that branch, that vineyard, that vine to come up to actually live, or else it'll die, it'll perish. And it's so funny because it's, if we're not doing those things in our lives, it's the same way. We could just feel dry and dead-like, and it's just that ugh feeling because we're not connected constantly to the root system. The first thing that the roots do is absorb. Now remember, Jesus is the root and we're the branches, right? Do you know it's Jesus' job to absorb from the soil and give what we need in that specific season? Have you ever, I don't know if this has ever happened to anyone else besides me, but have you ever gone to like a conference or you've been sitting in a message or a sermon and then the pastor's up there and everyone else is around? You're surrounded by people, but then all of a sudden you're like looking around and like, why is he talking straight to me? Did he read my mail today? Like, have you ever noticed that? And it's like, well, how did they know? That's because Jesus is sitting there through the power of the Holy Spirit absorbing what you need in this very season and giving it to you. It's like the nutrients of the root system. It knows what the branches need. It knows what the fruit needs. And it's selecting what to pull out and give specifically to those branches. It is so critical that you're connected to Jesus all the time. Because he is feeding you. He's giving you exactly what you need for this season. Have you ever, you know, have you ever done a Bible study? You open up your word and you're reading through it, and all of a sudden you read like 30 verses, but one is like the thing you need. It's the same concept. The more you're rooted with Jesus, the more time you spend with Jesus, the more time you spend in the word, he starts speaking and giving you what you need in this exact season at this exact moment. That's what it means when we remain in him. Because we're rooted in him. He knows what to absorb and he knows what to give you. Have you ever, another side note, have you ever read a scripture in one season of your life and you're like, oh, wow, you know, it really spoke to me? And then years later, you read the same one and it speaks to you again in a different season? Right. It's the same root system, knows what to give you, when to give it to you. It's the same concept. Absorb. You know, the second thing I read about root systems in vineyards is they anchor the vine. It was just right there. It's an anchor for the soil. It anchors it in. Whenever storms come, whenever bad things happen, whenever something's going wrong, the root system anchors the rest of the plant in. It keeps it stationary and plugged in and planted when it needs to be planted. When we remain in Jesus, he will keep us like an anchor. He'll keep us steady. He'll keep us connected. He won't let us flail about in the world and fall away. When we remain in God, he keeps us anchored. And the third thing, this is really interesting about the root system. I found out that the root system is like a straw, if you will. A lot of different vine blogs explain that. The root system is like a straw. It goes into soil and it sucks up all the nutrients and passes along. But did you know it also decides what to hold on to because it won't be able to gather nutrients in different parts of the season? So it holds on throughout winter so it can continue distributing all the things you need. How does that apply to us? Sometimes when we're all energized and excited about church and worship and the word and we're getting fed all these things, but then we can go through a dry season because something happens, God will start giving you nutrients to get you through those dry seasons. Those reminders that he's taking care of you, that he has your back. It's those winter seasons that the root system can still flourish because it's absorbed and holding on to things that you need in your next season so bad. So the root system does. When we're connected to Jesus. Jesus is the root. Number two, God is the gardener. God is the gardener. Remember our scripture, John 15:1? I am the true grapevine, and my Father is the gardener. The gardener. I looked up what are characteristics of a vine dresser or a gardener in a vineyard. They have four things they have to do in the first 3 years that are so important for that vine, so important for the root system, so important for everything else that's going on. Four things that the vine dresser does. And it's kind of funny because it also kicks over four things that God does in our first season as a new believer. And it was paralleled so wonderfully. Do you know a vine dresser intentionally plants, eh? Intentionally plants. Likewise, God intentionally plants us in seasons we're in. I grew up in Oregon on a farm, and it was kind of on the side of a mountain, and there was a vineyard that our neighbors owned, and my window woke up every morning overlooking this vineyard. It was the coolest view. As a child, you think, oh, that's how everyone grows up. And you move to LA and there's no land. And you're like, oh, that isn't the typical raise, you know? And I remember looking out over the vineyard and every single shoot, every single vine was intentionally planted by the gardener. There wasn't any vines or plants that were just growing up sporadically all around. Every single one was meticulously planted so that they all stretched where the water would flow down. They all stretched where the sun would be able to hit them perfectly. They were all perfectly in order so that the gardener can go through it. It was all meticulously planned out from the very beginning. That's how God views us. He meticulously planted you in your life from the beginning of time. For I knew you before you were even born, before you even in your mother's womb. God knew you. God knew you. You know what's so crazy is with that concept, it's easy to think that, you know, Maybe my life is a mistake. Maybe this is an accident. Maybe whatever. But once you start realizing, no, God planted you because he knew that you could go through it and he knew that you could help others. No one else can step into your shoes. You are not a mistake. You are not an accident. God intentionally planted you specifically where you are. Amen? The gardener is very meticulous with his vines. He is very meticulous with you and your life. John 15, 16a says this, "You didn't choose me, I chose you." How powerful is that? God chose us. God chose us. Wasn't that you just one day happened upon him and be like, you know what, I choose God. He's like, no, I chose you before the world existed, okay? Thanks for catching up to my speed. God chose you. He loves you. Something else the gardener does, it was kind of funny because it said he deals with mildew. That was the next down the list. That was number two. The gardener deals with mildew. Uh-huh, okay. And I just kind of brushed it off a little bit. You know, I was doing all this research on what a gardener does inside of a vineyard, and I was like, deals with mildew. Next. And then in my prayer time, God said, no. That's critical. That is a critical element. That's so critical. It's number two. Not only do I choose you, I deal with mildew. I was like, mildew? Oh, so that's like the inner sin in our lives. You know, I thought Jesus dealt with it, and I felt God say, no. Jesus is the root, and he's dealing with the nutrients, and he deals with everything on the inside. The mildew is on the outside. That's the stuff that's on the outside of the plant. When we first get saved and are new believers, we still have echoes of our past reverberating through our lives. We still have things that are damaging people. We still have words that we're saying that are hurting people. We still have sin issues on the surface that are causing other people to sin. Those are the mildews of our life. Jesus covers inside and is dealing with our sin and our issues, but God is dealing with the outside in how our sin is affecting others. Does that make sense? The gardener is at work aiding others around us because we're still getting our act together, and he is a gracious God. See, this one blew my mind. See, the gardener deals with frost. Do you know how many articles and moments in blogs there are on vineyards dealing with frost and the cold? It's like half. Half of everything on a vineyard blog is dealing with the cold and the frost. So what does that look like to us? It's how the world impacts us. It's how the supernatural comes in and starts trying to freeze us out and disconnect us from the root system. Because the roots are underground, they're okay. But the branches above the ground are what's impacted by the cold. And it can freeze off and die. It's the storms in life. How do we deal with that? I'm glad you asked. in the research, and it was kind of interesting because it's so practical. It's what they're actually doing, but it applies to us spiritually, which is blows my mind even more how God orchestrated all of it. Do you know a gardener in a vineyard, they pack the soil down tight, right? So that the roots are anchored, so that the roots can take all of it. But then when the frost is coming, when it's getting colder, they take loose soil, pliable soil, dirt that's been crumbled, and just lightly embrace it up, like a little mound climbing up the branches. It's loose soil that protects the branches from the storms of life. It's really interesting. So illustratively, how's that? You know how we pray, God, give me a soft heart. Give me like a loose soil so your word can and dig deep in my life. It's this concept of having a pliable heart that's ready to hear from God at every single moment. That's what protects us from the storms that we face in this world. We have pliable, open hearts for God to speak at a moment's notice. It's this kind of thing that protects us from the frost and the damage. D, the gardener deals with critters. Okay, so how is that different than frost damage versus critter damage? Both come from the world, right? So frost damage are storms that come. Critter damage is what the vine is feeding improperly to the animals. Because you know the vineyard, the vine, the fruit, it's supposed to grow up, branch out, grow fruit, and the fruit is what's supposed to be given out. The fruit is what is supposed to be consumed, not the branches. See, this represents when we give of our lives to people that are just taking and taking and taking, and then we're left with nothing, and we can't grow fruit anymore. We need to identify exactly what we need to give to people and what we need to hold in. Say, God, this is your truth, this is your word, and this is for me right now. It's okay to say no sometimes to people when they're asking of all your time, where you give up all your time, all your energy, everything, and you're left with nothing. This is identification of saying yes and saying no. Understanding, you know what? I need my Jesus time right now. It's okay that I say no to this. Because I can't let the world keep consuming from my life to where I have nothing left. The more creatures and critters, bunnies and mice and whatever eat from the bottom of the vine, the less fruit it can produce later in that season. And if it goes above and beyond and tries to produce all the fruit that it can, it actually snaps and breaks and dies. I can't spend too much time on that. Take it in. We're going to move on, and that's going to be more in next week's. God is a gardener, and he deals with things externally in our lives. Number three, we are the branch. John chapter 15, verse 5 says this, "Yes, I am the vine, and you are the branches. Those who remain in me, and I in them, will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Anyone who does not remain in me is thrown away like a useless branch and withers. Such branches are gathered into a pile to be burned. But if you remain in me, and my words remain in you, you may ask for anything you want, and it will be granted. When you produce much fruit, you are my true disciples. This brings great glory to my Father." There's a remaining illustration going on here. Remaining. Can you imagine if the North American church actually understood what it means to remain? There'd be such crazy revival happening. We're such a culture of consumerism where we go in, take what we need, and we're good for now. Take what we need, and we're good for now. And that's infiltrated the North American church. I'm going to take what I need, and I'm out. I'm going to take what I need, I'm out. No, God's saying, don't do that. It's about remaining in me. It's about an everyday, all day kind of thing. Remain. Remain. What's the difference, just very simply, between a lamp and a flashlight? A lamp will keep on going because it's plugged in. A flashlight will die because it's living off batteries. There's too many Christians living their life like a flashlight in this world, bringing light to the darkness, but it's only temporary. Where a lamp, you plug it in, turn it on, and you can just leave it shining all the time because it's plugged into the source. We are the branch. A, it says, remain in his love. John chapter 15, verse 9 says, "I have loved you even as the Father has loved me. Remain in my love." Amen. Remain in his love. Your first goal as a branch is to sit in God's love. sit in God's love. Not sit and stew in your own frustrations. Sit in God's love. Do you know the best way to get over an unforgiveness issue and like a haterade you have on someone is you just start loving them? It's like, I will love you today. I hate you a little bit, but I'll love you as much as I can. I'm not just making this up. I practice what I preach, okay? You can ask my wife. Not that I hate, no, never mind. Remain in his love. It is critical that you remain in love. Has to be fully supported by Christ's love. Can't be something that you're just putting on yourself, like, you know, I'm gonna try to love this person today and the next day you don't. It's like, no, I need to be connected. I need to remain. God says I have to remain in his love. Remain. Some of your greatest struggles and frustrations will just be blown over and knocked away if you would do this. Remain in God's love. Just that's it. Well, I'm frustrated. You don't. Nope, I'm going to remain in God's love. But you don't understand my hat. Just remain in his love. Remain in his love. Simple. That's it. B, remain in his word. John 15:7. But if you remain in me and my words remain in you, you may ask for anything you want and it will be granted. Now, please do not connect Jesus to Santa Claus or, you know, Aladdin's magic genie. That's not what's going on here. But if you remain in me and my words remain in you, it's about having God's word remain inside of you. Are you taking the scripture literally and just saying, God, I'm believing on this? You said my healing comes by the stripes on your back. I'm believing in this. Do you stand on God's word? Is it resonating in your spirit, or do you hear it, see it, walk away, and it's gone? It says remain. Have his words remain in you. You don't let them go. Remain in his words. See, remain connected to Jesus. John 15:4, remain in me and I will remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it is severed from the vine, and you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. How many times does it say remain in there? Remain. God's really trying to get this point across. You know it's important when he just says it over and over and over in the same passage. He's like, let me make sure you get it one more time. Remain in me. Get it? Remain in me. Remain connected to Jesus. I find this very interesting that this illustration plays out so well. Do you know something that's very simple and basic to understand inside of a vineyard, but super complex to really reason and take on ourselves in the world? It's this concept of the first 3 years in the vineyard. The first 3 years is all about the root system remaining in the ground and the vine remaining connected to the root system. If that does not happen, fruit cannot grow. It can't. The branches haven't developed, they haven't budded, and the fruit cannot come out. Likewise, in our Christian walk, if we haven't remained connected to Jesus and we haven't grown in it, we're just sitting in this time frame of the first 3 years of development, but we're not developing because we're not connected. We can't grow, and we can't grow strong because we haven't been connected down deep into this root system. Remain in Christ. God's end goal here is for you not to live out your entire lives in the first 3 years of development over and over and over and over and over. God's goal is you get connected, get built, and produce fruit. And then it's a life cycle. if you've been stuck in this developmental phase for a long time, sometimes it's easy to have a calloused heart that you're just frustrated about everything because you don't see fruitfulness in your life. But if you want to kick that over into seeing growth and seeing fruitfulness, it's all about remaining in Jesus. That's it. A long message today just for a simple fact. Remain in Jesus. This sermon series is going to track the life of a believer illustrated by a vineyard. First part is remaining in the root system. Next week, we're going to talk about the branches and the criticalness of that. Because the first 3 years, determining if there will be fruit, half of it is on the branches. And then we're going to kick over to the rest of it. So with that, can we close our eyes right now? Lord, we love you, and we thank you, and we honor you. You are the true gardener of our lives. God, we praise you that we are not an accident, we are not a mistake, but you have meticulously planted and cared for us this entire time. Let us understand that and let us accept it because we have work to do. By remaining in you, God, we're trusting in faith that you will grow us. And we're believing that fruit is going to come. Lord, we thank you, God. Continue helping us grow this week. If anyone's here today and you're saying, you know what? I don't know if I'm necessarily connected or planted to the root. Meaning, I don't know if I've said yes to Jesus. I don't know if I've accepted him in my life yet. But I want to. If that's you today, would you just make eye contact with me right now? Everyone's eyes are closed. Just make eye contact. Praise God. Awesome. Praise God. Lord, thank you for today. Thank you for us choosing that we want to be connected to you. Pray that you would identify areas in our lives where we can grow in and develop in and continue to remain in you. We thank you, God. Would everyone repeat after me? Lord, I love you. I believe you died and rose again. Forgive me of my sins. And I fully accept you in my life. Amen.